Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good evening, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, and Happy New Year. Welcome to the very first podcast of 2024. This is episode 24-01. And just the way the holidays landed, Christmas on the 25th and January 1st, both on Sundays, well, we usually take Christmas and New Year's off. Well, especially when New Year's lands right on Sunday. So anyway, welcome everybody. We are looking at a very, very challenging year. I think a lot of us can sense that things are going to come to a head some form or a fashion or another here in the next year. Namely, because of the biggest threat to the globalists, President Trump, up for re-election. I can't believe we've made it 3 years, to be honest. We just hit the three-year anniversary of January 6th, when the patriots rose up to demand a stay on certifying the election due to the overwhelming evidence of irregularities and voter fraud. All they wanted was 10 days. Give us 10 days to review. Well, they needed an emergency to shut Congress down. It wasn't the patriots who shut Congress down and interfered with a official proceeding by the government. No, it was the deep state creeps who, it appears to me, created the chaos needed to stop the proceedings, come back later under an emergency session where they couldn't hear the objections to investigate voter or election fraud and irregularities involved in the election, and to hold off on the certification. Nope, they needed the emergency. They got the chaos that they wanted. They created chaos so that they could make new rules. Three years yesterday. So now we're looking at an election that the deep state and the globalists are, I would say, committed to the full degree that there was nothing off the table, that no matter what, at all costs, regardless of what it takes, Trump cannot take the White House in 2024. So that, in my mind, ranges from a whole host of possibilities, from trying another round of COVID and lockdowns, but I don't think so. All the way to the other extreme, actually attempting to kill President Trump. I wouldn't be surprised if that was on their agenda as a last resort, if all the other measures fail. I think the most probable lies somewhere in the middle, and that is to create chaos, black flag event, a black swan event, false flag, whatever you want to call it. They're going to create some type of catastrophic type of event that's going to hurl us into what elections? We can't even think about having elections. We're having a crisis here. And they're great at creating crisis. And we're going to talk about that in the coming weeks. I've already talked about it over the last couple of weeks. We've talked about it on the morning commute. I think the highest probable scenario will be what they're pointing toward. between the World Economic Forum, this new Netflix movie, which I have not watched and will not watch, that was produced by the Obamas, talking about a major catastrophic cyber attack. The World Economic Forum has warned that a cyber attack is imminent. It's going to happen. This is the same thing they said about the COVID outbreak 2 years before that. Well, 2 years ago, they said a major cyber attack, a cyber pandemic, they called it. And they've been planning for, and their cyber polygon roundtable, war gaming, sandboxing, whatever you want to call it, planning for this, warning of it. So I think that's the most likely scenario. Along with, if not simultaneously, and I believe it will be simultaneous with infiltrators that have crossed our southern border going operational. So I think it's going to be not a multi-pronged, it's going to be a multifaceted, simultaneous event that's going to take us to a place the world hasn't seen before. It's going to stun everyone, and it's going to change the game permanently for everything. The whole world, the whole landscape is going to look completely differently. So tonight, in segment two, I'm going to talk a little bit about that, kind of more developments, what's going on the border, and a very interesting interview with an Iranian who was at the border entering illegally. But his insights and what he has to say, he left Islam. He says he's secular. He's not religious now. He left Islam, coming to America. He wants to see Trump, even at the risk of being deported if Trump gets back in, because of what it means to the world. He says if America falls, the world falls. And he says, so I want Trump in there, even at the risk of getting deported. So very interesting. But I also have an update from Michael Yon. But in segment three, Department of Justice now saying they're going to start going after thousands of patriots from January 6th who didn't even go into the Capitol. So we're talking Soviet era tactics here now, and I'm going to talk about that. Well, let's get to the news and commentary. The news and commentary brought to you by the podcast Prepping 2.0 with Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher, helping to take your preps to the next level. And the website is prepping2-0.com. From dnipro.today.com, interesting, serious GPS signal interference over Poland. And no one knows what's going on. Since this last Monday, Poland had experienced very significant disruptions to the GPS signals. This mainly concerns the northern and northeastern and central parts of Poland. It is not known yet what the reason is. We're seeing more and more cyber type of disruptions for various different explanations, or sometimes no explanation, but never mind. Tomorrow you'll forget about it, so move on. So there's a lot of shenanigans going on digitally, and once again, and these wartime hot zones, be ready to use a map, compass, and protractor for navigating. Use ulterior means of communicating and navigating, because GPSs will be targeted. We're watching this right now in the Middle East with Israel and Hezbollah, ISIS, and all the other Iranian conflict going on over there. This GPS jamming, GPS spoofing, which would even be worse. If your GPS isn't working at all, well, break out the map. But if you think your GPS is working and you need to go from point A to point B, and you get to point B and you're 5 miles away from where you were hoping to be, that's not good. That's a good way to get walked off a cliff, or just completely miss your rendezvous or whatever it might be, yeah, have alternative methods to satellite communications and navigation. You know, on January 1st, New Year's, we saw a lot of pro-Hamas terrorist celebrations, what they call ceasefire protests. Unbelievable, in America, marching in favor of terrorists. But see, now it's taken to a new level. I've got a image here that was taken on the streets of Chicago, New Year's Day, and they're wearing Hamas fighter uniforms. I mean, OD green, military fatigue, full on. They look, this picture looks like it was taken in Gaza. Yellow headbands and Palestinian flags sewn on or Velcroed on to their left shoulders. Looks like a unit patch of some sort. It's too indistinguishable to make out. Full-on Hamas fighter uniforms. This would be like somebody supporting Nazi Germany in World War II and walking around on New Year's Day calling for Allied forces to have a ceasefire because of the poor Germans, and furthering that by wearing German soldiers' uniforms in America. That's how absurd this is. I mean, this would be, I think, by the laws of land warfare or laws of armed conflict, internationally accepted law, you could engage these people. I mean, you could shoot them right there on the spot. They're wearing enemy uniforms. Hamas has vowed to destroy Israel, wipe it off the face of the earth, and the United States. Christians and Jews, they've specifically mentioned. Now they're wearing their uniforms. Why didn't somebody just take them out? Well, freedom of speech. I don't know what they're going to do when the Chinese actually show up. They've got the right to express themselves. This is America. Unbelievable. Well, things are expanding over there. Canada has called its citizens to leave Lebanon. Germany has called their citizens to leave Germany. Germany has called its citizens to leave Lebanon. Things are about ready to go hot in Lebanon, other than these selective surgical strikes that we're seeing there. Interesting. The international community is coming together against these Houthis who are firing from Yemen on civilian cargo ships. So we've got the United States, Kingdom, India, United States, many others that are already there. Well, others have weighed in saying we're gonna join this, and we're gonna stand against the Houthis out of Yemen who are firing on cargo ships. Australia, Bahrain, Belgium, Canada, Denmark, Germany, Italy, Japan, the Netherlands, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. This is all joining forces with the U.S. Central Command to protect cargo ships. I don't know why they're protecting cargo ships. We're talking Yemen. We're talking Houthis. This is not China. This is Yemen. Go in there and annihilate them. I mean, we have the technology to find out exactly. Every time a missile is fired, there's your grid coordinates. Boom. I mean, make grid squares just vanish until they stop. So they're not. We've had over 100 attacks against U.S. bases, U.S. forces in the Middle East by Iranian-backed militias and ISIS and jihadi groups, and hardly any response. It's kind of slapping them back. This is a very weak regime right now, sadly, and I think that's intentional in the United States. Hate to see it. Well, here's some good news from the Reload. Only a tiny faction of illegal. I meant to say Illinois, but I said illegal. But same thing, Illinois, illegal. Only a tiny fraction of Illinois gun owners registered their AR-15s and similar firearms before the state's ban officially took effect. Yeah, 1% of Illinois gun owners registered their so-called assault weapons. So good on you, Illinois. Those are unconstitutional laws. Somebody sent me a great meme here with everything going on with the people falling, continuing to fall over from getting the death and maiming shot. Still, on a daily basis, Officer so-and-so, 38 years old, had a medical condition in his patrol car and was deceased, found deceased. Young people dying suddenly, but they don't give you the cause of death. They just had a medical situation. But listen to this. One of the best things about being a conspiracy theorist is that you don't end up with myocarditis. Isn't that the truth? Let's see. From American Partisan. Good job over there, NC Scout, with the headline, Biden regime's first campaign ad, you're the enemy. Yep, for true. And we've got some more here we're going to get to, but let's go ahead and take a break. We're going to come back and talk about what's going on the border. Let you listen in to this about 5 minutes of this from News Nation of this Iranian at the border coming into the United States illegally. But he's warning America about having open borders and the state of our nation with this regime that's in place. And he wants Trump in to, for the sake of saving the world. Pretty amazing. Anyway, stick around. We'll be back with segment two right after this.
One podcast dares to be different.
This is the final battle. With you at my side, we will demolish the deep state. We will expel the warmongers from our government. We will drive out the globalists. We will cast out the communists, Marxists, and fascists. We will throw off the sick political class that hates our country. We will rout the fake news media, and we will liberate America from these villains once and for all.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder, select your preferred carry style, and order your holster today.
Welcome back, Patriots, to segment two of episode 24-01, the very first one. All right, I've got this audio here in segment two. I'm going to talk about the border threat. I want to recap a couple things for you, but I want you to hear what this Iranian has to say. Thick accent can kind of be difficult to understand. There's no subtitles or anything. Of course, that wouldn't help you because you're listening to a radio show or live streaming on Sunday night or the podcast. So listen to him, though. What he has to say, the Second Amendment and the First Amendment. That is why they haven't been able to take. That's why our democracy, he calls it, has been preserved. He warns us about Islam, and he warns us about America falling. And he has to come to the United States because there's no place else to go. He even quotes Reagan. And the first part is particularly hard to understand. But he's saying, if I was a governor, I'd be worried. Look at all these people. Chinese, military age. All these other people, military age. He says, I'm even military age. And then he goes on to talk about the danger of the situation. Take a listen.
If I was a governor here, I would be afraid because all of these people in China, military age, India, military age, even myself, I'm military age. And there's a question is coming up in here. Scary question. If an incident between US and China occur in Taiwan, what these people do? Are they come aside of US or they take China's side? Don't know. And no one's know.
What was the route you took from Iran?
Come to Turkey and Turkey to Mexico, Mexico to United
States. So what would prevent a terrorist from doing the same thing?
Nothing. Exactly, nothing.
That's scary.
Real scary. I'm telling you, a friend, if you see the Europe, the people, politician in Europe is sleeping as well. Don't be offended, but Joe Biden is sleeping at the moment.
It's terrible.
It's far more than terrible. Not for US, for the all of the war. Just look at the world. We have three war. We have sanction. We had a recession in the entire planet. Everyone say I'm wrong, but if you like it or not, if a recession come in US, there will like epidemic, a pandemic comes in all the countries, and Joe Biden is doing this. It's not good.
So Trump was better. You want Trump back in office?
Despite that they fears us, if you come, Trump is back, you will be deported. Yes, I want Trump back.
Wow, that's a powerful statement.
Despite that, because he just create, we have a sentence in our country. That means a lot for this moment. We say, I say it in Persian, then I will rephrase it in English for you. We say, "Anke ba madar khod zina konad ba degaran chaha konad." That means, if someone betray his family and his mother, just think about that. What he can do with the others?
Yeah, if he doesn't care, respect them. Yeah. How will he respect
Joe Biden
you?
Don't respect the U.S.
Wow.
That's my opinion.
Thank you. Are you Muslim, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm born Muslim, but I don't believe in Islam.
More secular.
More secular. Yeah. Secular. I'm a non-believer. And I just want to say, if you ask me why I didn't go to Europe, that was easier for me. But I don't trust them because they don't help any people. And the last thing I say, I don't know if it's Reagan or if it's Nixon said that. I think Reagan said that. Reagan once told the people of the world, we are the last stand against falling into democracy. If US falls, everyone falls.
Wow. How concerned, so you're a secular, I was speaking to some of these guys from Turkey, the same thing they're fleeing. How bad is Islam for the world?
How much you want me to be straight?
As straight as you can be.
It's terrible. It's the new virus. The wave of virus is coming and you cannot prevent it like this. If you think people from radical jihadist Islam and radical system of Islam coming to your country and they take an oath of U.S. citizen, and you think that when they come a time that they have to take a side between Islam and U.S., you would be so naive if you think they take U.S. side. Their mind are dead. Once I ask one of my Islamist friend in Iran, he's a good guy. He's a very respected guy at my office. I ask him, if your prophet tells you you have to detonate a nuclear bomb, what would you do? He said, if the prophet says, it means it comes from Allah, and I would do it. And I respond that you are one footstep away from being a terrorist. He don't believe me, but it's it. Yeah. Islam is terrible.
How many terrorists do you think we have in America now?
I don't have the numbers, but lots. It's about lots of terrorists. People are saying about America that America is not safe because of guns, but it's ridiculous. America is safe. America has the strongest democracy and politics because of the guns, because of your First and Second Amendment. America, guns don't kill people. Radicalists kill people.
Yeah.
Guns just do the action I wanted, not they.
Right.
No guns come and get a foot and kill people in a line. But Islamists will do. Islamists will come here, get the guns, get the C4 detonations, and kill people. They're not good.
It's pretty amazing to hear an illegal immigrant coming from Iran, of all places. Something tells me this guy's very, very probably not a jihadi coming here. If he was on mission as a jihadi coming here, he wouldn't be talking to the camera. This is not the message that, you know, you'd typically hear. It's kind of like Shahram Haidian and his family fleeing when the Iranian Revolution broke out and Islam took over. And they started becoming so oppressive. The Ayatollah took over and they fled to the United States, of course, legally. But this guy wants to get the heck out of there. A lot of Iranians are very disenfranchised and unhappy with this current Iranian regime. But there's another one here, Michael Yon. He's been covering the border situation, especially from the Darien Gap in Panama, where all these people are coming from around the world and they're funneling through there. Some of the worst of the worst. He's identified People's Liberation Army, Chinese Communist Party, military age fighting males, including identifying rituals that are very indicative of what Chinese special forces use when they go on missions. They sacrifice, you know, they cut a chicken's head off, they drink its blood in a ceremonious fashion. And this was witnessed down there in Panama, and they're coming through by the thousands. That's who we got here. But just recently it came to light that the Border Patrol couldn't ask the Chinese if they were affiliated with the Chinese Communist Party any longer. They're limited to what they can ask them. And they can't ask them if they're, you know, part of a, you know, the Chinese military, Communist Chinese Party. So this Border Patrol source, which Michael Yon's been getting a lot of stuff from patriots that are in the Border Patrol that are very frustrated, and they're kind of whistleblowers, are basically anonymously contacting and saying, this is what I'm seeing on the inside as a Border Patrol agent, and it's as bad as they say. It's worse. This is what he writes. From a U.S. Border Patrol source, quote, the reports you're seeing about the change in questions of Chinese are 100% correct, but it's not just Chinese. There was a time when the Border Patrol would try to get to the truth of illegal aliens' backgrounds. That is no longer the case. The priority is in processing or release as fast as possible. Agents will get questioned as to why they did not get more files done if they do if they do not do as many as management wants done in a shift. Example, I have done one file in a shift, and my management all the way to the top in the station was extremely unhappy. They were asking questions as to why I only did one and if I needed additional training. The only focus of Border Patrol management is to process illegal aliens for release as fast as possible. And of course, we understand why that is, because I think from the Democrat side, some of the Democrats, they see Democrat voters, and they're trying to register illegals as Democrats. They're not trying to register them to vote as Republicans. And the overwhelming majority of the illegals love Biden. They're little communist minions. They're not coming here to be Americans. They're not coming here to assimilate. They are not ger, like the Hebrew word ger, when it says, you know, do not oppress the foreigner, do not oppress, you know, the sojourner, you know, the person that's not of your country, a foreigner, the immigrants, essentially. The term they use in that, the translation is ger. That is a foreigner who comes to your land like Naomi. You know the story of Naomi and Ruth, where Naomi, the mother-in-law of Ruth, who was not Israeli, comes there and says, I will be your people. Your God will be my God. I'm going to assimilate and become one of you and adopt your cultures, your language, even your God, and I want to become one of you. This is how immigration in the United States is intended to be and used to be enforced. When my grandfather came here from Scotland, they had to show proof that they would not be a burden on the United States. They had to show proof of sponsorship. They had to show that they were taken care of financially. And then when they had to go through the immigration process, they became Americans and left their loyalty to their homeland behind. You are now an American. Well, that's not the case anymore. And this is part of this. If you guys haven't read Unrestricted Warfare, I haven't found yet, specifically mentioning going to a foreign country in the guise of being an immigrant, and then, you know, you really work for us and you're going to be a saboteur or an assassin or an intelligence agent to help support us when we invade. But even this Iranian guy in this last interview you just heard said, hey, you come here, say, as a Chinese, and you sneak into the United States because you want to, you know, live in America, and then China, you go to war with China. Whose side are they? You don't know what their loyalties are. Well, actually, we do. They're going to be loyal to China because they're being sent here by them, in our estimation. But in Unrestricted Warfare, this is the chaos that they're planning for, and I think part of it is the Islamic segment, Hezbollah, Hamas, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and others that are planning to be operational here, these sleeper cells, and then just as, if not more dangerously, because it is so intentional in a strategic sense from a nation-state backed system, Chinese Communist Party. And that is to go operational and conduct multiple operations, devastating operations simultaneously. And in Unrestricted Warfare, which you can get, go to the internet and just do an internet search for Unrestricted Warfare, and you'll find the one at C4I, Charlie for India, C4I.org. They've got a PDF that you can download and read up on these two Chinese military officers who wrote their, like, this thesis, this paper on studying warfare and kind of bringing it all forward to where we are now and the type of warfare that we need to consider. One of the things they put in there was called synchrony. It's conducting actions in different spaces within the same period of time. The technical measures employed in modern warfare, and they're studying the United States. They're saying the United States is the closest thing to this out there right now. But the technical measures employed in modern warfare, and in particular, the spread of information technology, the emergence of long-range warfare technology, the increased ability to transform the battlefield, the linking together of battlefields, which to them, everything's a battlefield, the public sector, your public schools, your media, the Hollywood, all of it is a battlefield, right? Linking battlefields, which stretch forever, are scattered or are different by their nature, and the introduction of various military and non-military forces on an equal footing into the war. All these things greatly shrink the course of warfare. So many objectives which in the past had to be accomplished in stages through an accumulation of battles and campaigns, may now be accomplished quickly under the conditions of simultaneous occurrence. 208 simultaneous actions and simultaneous completion, thus stressing on synchrony in combat operations, now exceeds the stress of phasing. Taking as a given the requirement for thorough planning beyond limits, war brings key factors of warfare, which are dispersed in different spaces and different domains, to bear the same designated space of time. These factors revolve around the objectives of the war. Executing a well-arranged team effort and combined attack to achieve surprise, secrecy, and effectiveness. A single full-depth synchronized action may be just one short beyond limits combat operation, but it may be enough to decide the outcome of an entire war. What we mean by synchrony here is not simultaneity, differing not by not even a second, but rather within the same time period. In this sense, beyond limits war is worthy of the name, quote, designated time warfare. That means all of these things are going to take place within the same window of a time. Using this as a standard, the armed force whose military capabilities most nearly reach this level is that of the Americans. Given its current equipment and technology, take a note of that. Their current equipment and technology allows the United States, their information campaign systems, can within 1 minute provide data on 4,000 targets to 1,200 aircraft. In addition to this is the extensive use of long-range attack weapon systems. This has led to a proposal for a full-depth simultaneous attack operations ideology. In terms of space, the U.S. military is starting to abandon the pattern of actions with a gradual push from the periphery toward the depth. And in terms of time, it is abandoning the obsolete combat model of sequential actions. So, the lessons they're learning from this is that multiple actions take place in secrecy, by surprise, to take the initiative in a short period of time. But it's not just military. Their paper, Total Warfare, or Unrestricted Warfare, expands out to everything from the civilian population. So they've got bots on social media sites. They've got saboteurs taking down the internet or telecommunications, disrupting. That's why they have, you know, Chinese working as scientists or professors, technology experts. They're placed in strategic different places. So when the time comes, they will all act nearly simultaneously, but all carrying out their individual operations within a single space of time outside the scope of simply just military. And that's very likely to happen this year because they're about ready to roll out their aircraft carrier, the latest aircraft carrier, which is one of the final necessary components that they need for their campaign against the West, taking Taiwan first, but simultaneously taking out undersea fiber optic cables, satellites above, and having their operation, up to 100,000 Chinese, go operational in the United States. So there's your stolen fuel trucks being ignited under overpasses at key places, the cutting of electrical, taking out of electrical power grid, telecommunications. I mean, it's not looking good. But these guys are thinking like this, and it's all happening because they're coming across our southern border. Meanwhile, patriots that are seeing this are being called conspiracy theorists. In fact, terrorists. White supremacy, I think, is the number one national security threat, according to Biden. Well, I got a quote from him coming up here in a little bit, bragging about how many total years January 6 prisoners have been sentenced to, and calling out, you know, Trump and his supporters you know, major threat. This is all to support going after, expanding their campaign against patriots. Now with this U.S. District Attorney Matthew Graves going to target thousands of Americans who were around the Capitol on January 6th, but didn't even enter the building. Unbelievable. So we're fighting multiple fronts as well. Those of us who love our country and want to preserve the Republic. It's going to be a busy year. So stay tuned. Segment 3 coming right up.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Welcome back, Christian Patriots. This is Radio Free Redoubt, streaming live here on Sunday nights from the Free Zones, the American Redoubt. All right, now, segment 3 here. We've got unbelievable. Well, this is predictable. We know where things are headed. You know, we shouldn't act surprised, but it's still hard for me to accept we're talking about America here in my lifetime. I got to see America at its greatness, in my opinion. You know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 80s, you know, when I went in the military in the end of the 80s or mid 80s. Got to see, you know, Ronald Reagan, Desert Storm, grunge music, Red Dawn, you know, just America before it actually started falling apart. So now here we are. The Gateway Pundit just came out with this article. D.C. attorney Matthew Graves says DOJ is now going to target thousands of Americans who were around the Capitol on January 6th, but did not enter the building. Now, they got a video there. You could post it if you go to the Gateway Pundit and look this up. Matthew Graves, U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia on Thursday, held a press conference on the third anniversary of the January 6th Capitol protest. Quote, "It's been 3 years since a violent mob attacked our Capitol." Actually, it's 4 years if they look back at Trump's. Actually, it's been more than that. So 7 years. Remember when Antifa, BLM, and all the others were holding up images of Trump, burning him, beheading him, making videos, executing him. Remember when they talked about overthrowing the White House, storming the Capitol and the White House? Yeah, no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about patriots who were furious when they witnessed a coup, and military experts around the world said, America just had a coup. right in front of our eyes. Everybody knew what it was. But, you know, the perpetrators act like victims. So, Graves thanked the public for assisting the FBI in identifying J6ers. All right, so we got snitches out there. You guys know that, right? And said more Capitol protesters would be arrested. Quote, an important note about those who remained outside the Capitol building, Graves said, we have used our prosecutorial discretion, yeah, and to primarily to focus on those who entered the building or those who engaged in violent or rough conduct on Capitol grounds. Now, you notice that the known and identified Antifa members, agitators, or the FBI agents or other agents provocateur working with the FBI, none of them have been arrested, right? This is an anti-patriot campaign. And this prosecutorial discretion that he talks about is injustice because they're not using prosecutorial discretion properly to go after those who tried to overthrow the Capitol and storm the streets and burn police cars and everything else. Oh, they arrest and convict a few here and there, you know, to show that they're trying to do something. But it's amazing how many of these leftist communist agitators who carry out real crimes and burn police cars and millions or billions of dollars in damage, they get their sentences suspended or charges dropped altogether. But no, because somebody walked around peacefully, took pictures, and they want to put them away for 6 years of their life in a federal prison. Anyway, Graves then said the DOJ is now going to target thousands of Americans who were around the Capitol on January 6th but did not enter the building. He continued, but if a person knowingly entered a restricted area without authorization, they had already committed a federal crime. Of course, it's federal crime to cut your tag off of your pillow too, right? And what about all of the illegals down on the southern border? That's a federal crime, but we're using our prosecutorial discretion. I know. Why don't you guys just process the J6ers and give them an appearance date 7 years down the road so they can answer for their federal crime like you do with the people that aren't even American citizens committing federal crimes coming into our country? Anyway, he says, make no mistake, thousands of people occupying the area that they were not authorized to be present in the first place. So they want to start arresting all the thousands of people that were around there, even when there was no barricades. This isn't about proper. This is not about probable cause for committing crimes. This is about punishing patriots, anyone who would think about rising up against this regime. But we're going to get to that in just a second. One day after Matthew Graves' press conference, where he threatened to arrest thousands of peaceful Trump supporters who didn't enter the Capitol building, Joe Biden was near Valley Forge bragging up, locking up J6ers. Biden bragged about pro-Trump protesters being sentenced to 840 years in prison. Listen to this.
Instead of calling them criminals, he's called these insurrectionists patriots. They're patriots. And he promised to pardon them if he returns to office. Trump said that there was a lot of love on January the 6th. The rest of the nation, including law enforcement, saw a lot of hate and violence. One Capitol police officer called it a medieval battle. That same officer was called vile racist names. He said he was more afraid one desperate act available to him, the violence of January the 6th.
And since that day, more than 1,200 people have been charged for their assault on the Capitol. Nearly 900 of them have been convicted or pled guilty. Collectively, to date, they have been sentenced to more than 840 years in prison. And what's Trump done? Instead of calling them criminals, he's called these insurrectionists patriots. They're patriots. And he promised to pardon them if he returns to office.
I think somebody best described him one time as, they said, that rotting bag, that rotting sack of oatmeal. And I thought, that, I mean, if you didn't even know, if you didn't have the context, and somebody just came just out of the blue, just walked into the room and said, rotting sack of oatmeal, Biden's image would just flash before my eyes. It's perfect. Brilliant. Anyway, Biden said of January 6, 2021, since that day, more than 1,200 people have been charged for assaulting the Capitol. More than 900 have been convicted or pleaded guilty. Collectively to date, they have been sentenced to more than 840 years in prison. Now, with the crimes of treason that he has committed, you'd think that he would be, I mean, playing down the whole drawing attention to the justice system thing. But that's how arrogant these people are. I mean, he has committed treason in the public's eye, in the public's mind eye, that, and the evidence to show what he has done while he's breaking the law by not even securing our border, the gall to point to peaceful protesters for happening to be in an unauthorized area, which was nebulous at best. Anyway, just 2 days after Matthew Graves' presser, the FBI arrested three January Sixers in a pre-dawn raid on the anniversary of the Capitol protest 3 years later. The FBI executed three federal arrest warrants early this morning at a ranch in Groverland, Florida, in Lake County. The FBI Tampa police said in a statement on X, the subjects taken into custody are January 6 fugitives, Jonathan Daniel Pollock, Olivia Michelle Pollock, and Joseph Daniel Hutchinson III. The defendants are scheduled to appear in federal court in Ocala, Florida, on Monday, January 8th. No further details concerning their capture are available at this time. I'm very interested in looking into the details of that this week. I don't have any more information myself. But this takes me back to, and exactly what I've been calling this, these are Soviet-era tactics where they go after political dissidents. Now, there's a great article that kind of points this out. The effect that dissidents, is what they called them, Soviet dissidents, during the Cold War had. There's an article here at hoover.org, Soviet Dissent and Cold War. The Soviet dissent movement during the Cold War had an important effect on both the Soviet Union and the West. In the case of the West, the dissident movement acted to push Western societies, sometimes unwillingly, toward attention to first principles. The dissident movement had a profound impact on Western public opinion. The emergence of protest within the Soviet Union demonstrated to many in the West that the surface calm of Soviet society was misleading. Soviet leaders continued to speak out about the total political and ideological unity of the Soviet people. But thanks to the activities of the dissidents, this claim became increasingly hollow. Remember, the rest of the world is looking at the United States right now, wondering why are patriots not rising up? What's happening? And they're projecting to the rest of the world that everybody's on board with this Biden communist regime coup, and we're not. So this is why it's important that dissidents speak out and say, those cretins in Washington, D.C. don't speak for the rest of us. They are not us. We are not them. Anyway, in this article, the dissidents revealed the mechanism of political repression in the Soviet Union by speaking openly, refusing to play the roles assigned to them as Soviet citizens in the nationwide political play. This defiance led to arrests that were publicized by other dissidents who in turn were arrested. Sounding familiar? As the number of arrests grew, more information became available, and other dissidents compiled and made public accounts of the system of labor camps and psychiatric hospitals that was used to enforce political conformity. Key in on this. It became undeniable that the element holding the system together was fear. That's exactly what they're trying to accomplish here by what you just saw. That's because now MAGA is getting amped up. The Make America Great movement sees a light at the end of the tunnel with the elections coming up on the horizon. Trump can't be beat legally. I mean, if you run a fair election, he's unbeatable. The left is extremely nervous. This is part of their campaign, is to instill fear. Anybody who supports Trump, this is coming. Anyone who supports Trump is a potential terrorist or insurrectionist. They've already convicted him of insurrection, which means everybody who supports him supports insurrection. That's where they're going to take this. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a false flag event or series of false flag events making Trump supporters look like aggressors, like terrorists. But, I mean, and nobody's going to believe it, but that's okay because they've got the DOJ, they've got the fusion centers, they've got whatever, they've got the apparatus in place to state a narrative and then go out and act on that narrative. And they'll just keep repeating. They'll just beat the drum over and over, even though everybody knows it's a bunch of Bravo Sierra. But at the same time, the dissidents, by gathering and circulating information, identified the hidden fault lines in Soviet society, calling attention to the plight of persecuted groups, Jews and other religious minorities, non-Russians seeking to emigrate, and many others, whose situation had been little noticed or poorly understood. The dissidents also wrote and helped produce and circulate works of analysis and literature that, when they became available in the West, discredited the Soviet experiment in ways that works written by those outside the Soviet Union rarely could. The effect of the dissidents' activities was to establish a source of truthful information independent of, and in some cases competing for attention in the West, with the disinformation apparatus of the Soviet state. That is precisely what we have here in the United States today. We've got the Soviet state, that's the White House and their press secretary, their press apparatus, and all of the fake news and the social media tools. And now you've got this competing system getting truth out with social media, with Rumble, with videos, and the independent news. That's why they're trying to pass laws against misinformation. And these are leftist groups that are pushing for these laws at the federal and the state level. They can't get the traction at the federal level, so they're doing it at the state level to pass these task forces. They call them a task force combating hate and misinformation. So it's to suppress the truth. In this, just from this story, it would be the dissidents of the Soviets, right? Getting the truth out, competing with the fake news, which they're trying to criminalize. The effect of the dissidents' activities was to establish a source of truthful information independent of, and in some cases competing for attention in the West, with disinformation apparatus of the Soviet state. This provided highly important proved highly important. The dissidents were not able to give the West a complete understanding of the character of the Soviet system, but they provided enough information to raise doubts about the regime's intentions. Well, in this case, the whole world can see it. And in this case, we do have a global voice now with the internet. That has changed everything. American citizens the dissidents are getting the truth out there, and the rest of the world already knows it. They're watching their own countries go insane. The UK, Scotland, the rest of Europe, Germany, France, Norway, and they're starting to put their foot down and say, enough is enough. And on top of that, it is encouraging leaders in other countries like Malay, like Geert Wilders, like the woman, I can't remember her name, in Italy, Hungary, and other places where these leaders are, they're bucking the world global system. And it's because of the dissidents able to get our messages out. So here's the thing that I want you to remember. It became apparent to them, it should become undeniable that the element holding the system together that they depend on is fear. Patriots, right now more than ever, we need to be fearless. We need to be absolutely fearless. So with that, I'll go ahead and close this out. And we'll come back with segment four, Lady Liberty. And this is episode 24-01. Stay right there. All right, Patriots, welcome to the fourth and final segment here of episode 24-01. I have not said 2023 yet. So far, I've been getting it right, 2024. I got segment, code name, segment four in the studio joining me, Lady Liberty. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me and always glad to be here.
Well, it's a lot going on. We've already had a full week with the morning commute here. So this is our, you know, Happy New Year segment, you know, a week after New Year, because well, it landed on a Sunday.
Right.
But I know you've been researching and digging. We've been covering a lot of stuff. There's a lot happening right now as the world's coming undone at the seams. What do you got for us?
Well, you know, as everything is unraveling rapidly, and like you're saying, everything is...
clown world.
Well, I don't really like that term because that dismisses the seriousness of what is seriously going on. We are just about ready to see war break out here in the United States from any one of the sleeper cells in America, whether that be Chinese communist soldiers or Muslim soldiers or Russians that are going to start showing up as well. And so at this point you go, what are we even talking about the news for? You know, right. this is the time when the nation is basically being turned upside down. We are being taken over as we speak. And so do we even really still need to talk about the news? That's what's striking to me, because what's going on in the rest of the world is like, gosh, we've got Spain is absolutely up in arms with their they're having anti-government protests because of all of their fraudulent elections.
We're also anti-socialist government.
Yes, exactly.
Protests. Yeah.
And that's what I mean. That's because of the fraudulent elections. That is the result of a fraudulent election. Is you get these communists and socialists that are stealing these positions, and why? Because that is what they are famous for. They look at Stalin. That is the backbone of what he says. You know, it's not
That's right. He
who votes that counts. It's he who counts the votes. And so they know that the way to run any kind of communist anything is to make sure that you completely control the elections. And yeah. So we're seeing that in Spain, and we're also seeing, you know, massive protests. And so then in Ireland, a couple days ago in Urlingford, Kilkenny, the Irish protested plans for hundreds of unvetted migrant men to be dumped in the region at their expense.
Yeah.
And so they're heavily protesting that there as well. And in Germany, they're still having the massive anti-agriculture protests that the government is inflicting upon their people. And it says here that from Schmoln to Ronnenberg, farmers are protesting anti-agricultural measures, including the government's move to roll back tax breaks for tractors and other agricultural vehicles. Roads are expected to be closed from 4 a.m. local time today through next Monday. And so people complain about different protesters shutting down roadways. Well, I just have to give three cheers to the Germans and also the French for stacking the roads with tractors.
Yeah.
I mean, these big, massive loaders and, you know, they're dump trucks, everything. And they just flat out stop traffic. They shut down the city. And I say three cheers to them because something has got to make it stop.
In Europe, they're actually rolling out with salt of the earth people with tractors, stopping the government for a globalist agenda. In America, we got BLM and Antifa stopping traffic for terrorists.
Right.
To support terrorists.
Right.
How backwards.
Well, and what my point with this is that showing everywhere else in the world where the people, the patriots, are out there protesting. The patriots are saying, no, absolutely not. Not right now, not on our watch.
Right.
You're not going to do that here to us. Well, in America, crickets.
Yep.
Crickets. We have zero protests going on by anything other than like what you're saying, paid BLM or Antifa. Those people are paid armies of the globalists and supported and paid for by Soros and multiple other mega bazillionaires out there that are communists. And so I just wanted to point that out because why not America? Why are all the other nations of the world braver than Americans are suddenly?
Well, January 6th was a punch cut. That took the wind out of the sails.
I'm sorry, but have been such a huge backlash over what they did, because what they did to those people was illegal as all get
absolutely.
Out. They absolutely refused their due process. They refused.
Yep.
They broke the Constitution on the Sixth Amendment as well. So the Fifth Amendment, the Sixth Amendment, their freedom of speech, their freedom to gather and protest, and the fact that the whole insurrection was staged and infiltrated by intelligence agencies as well as
agents
just,
provocateur.
Just liberals disguising themselves as Trump supporters. I'm sitting here looking at a video of liberals disguising themselves as Trump supporters getting ready to attend the January 6th event. I'm watching them put on their Trump gear while they're explaining that they're going to go and pretend to be MAGA supporters.
Yes.
And, you know, so this is the kind of garbage that's going on. And the fact that we have allowed those people to be held hostage for 3 years now is absolutely unbelievable.
I know.
But what I really wanted to point out is the fact that Sound of Freedom, you know, I want to swing this back around to the most serious issue, which is the child trafficking that has seemed to be swept under the carpet now because it's old news, right? And so, you know, here is the film Sound of Freedom that was released July 4th, 2023. You and I saw it in the theater, one of the very first showings. And the description here says that it was a sleeper hit, becoming one of the most successful independent films in history.
Wow.
It has now grossed over $250 million against the $14.5 million budget. And so that is just absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
And the fact that we saw Javier Milei of Argentina, first of all, throw out all of the electronic voting machines. Well, he didn't do it. Argentina threw out all of the electronic voting machines after it botched their primary so bad. They said, get rid of them.
Yep.
They actually hucked them out the door and got rid of them. And Javier Milei got in. And within his first 2 weeks, he met with the producer of Sound of Freedom and basically penned in a plan to stop child trafficking altogether in Argentina. Yep. And so, you know, here coming back full circle to this whole Epstein thing, where the whole name of the game with Epstein Island is child trafficking.
Right.
Right. Child exploitation, murder, adrenochrome harvesting, organ yes. harvesting, all of the other horrific things that are attached to that is all being, as we all know, things are being released. But the thing is Epstein had been working with both the CIA and the FBI and using Epstein Island as an extortion and bribery tool.
Yeah, blackmail.
Blackmail. By trapping people and you know, basically getting this information documented. And so the people that are in position of government right now that are part of this whole system, part of this whole child trafficking and pedophilia support system,
right.
The people that pushed this homosexual agenda, the people that pushed, the drag queen events. Oh, my gosh.
All of it targeted toward children.
Absolutely. And they know for a fact that it targets the children, which is why the border is wide open, why they refuse to close it. And I just keep seeing one example after another of elected officials that are being caught and prosecuted for being involved in child pornography.
Yeah.
The latest one being a Democrat, an openly gay and married to a man, Democrat man by the name of Patrick Wohan from College Park, Maryland, who has been the mayor of College Park for the past 8 years. Well, lo and behold, he was just caught with 144 counts of distributing of possessing and distributing child pornography.
Wow.
And he has, he's openly gay and married and a Democrat. And here he has been doing this for, obviously, quite some time. And he has now been sentenced to 30 years in prison for that.
Yes.
And so
should be hanging from a rope, but.
Exactly. And here all these people came out to support him before his conviction, saying, this guy is an upstanding person in our community.
He's done so much for our town.
Yeah, he has done so much for us. And yet, lo and behold, here he is. He's into child porn big time.
Yep.
One of the biggest, what they call, how did they term it? That was like a treasure trove of child porn is how they described it, because he had so much there. And so we're seeing tons of this as well. And so I don't know. I think that with everything that is looming all together on our horizon, with everything biblical pointing to the fact that, hey, when the sin reaches this kind of level in a nation, God turns to judgment.
Yeah.
And
often uses a foreign invader, a foreign military, to come and conquer you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And
they're in place to do it.
Yep, that's right. And so at this point, I don't even know. It's hard to even just talk about the news as if none of this heavy stuff even matters anymore.
Yeah, it's almost to the point where it's like a shift from news to intelligence.
Right.
You know, I mean, where now this is, okay, this is not only just, this is what's happening in the news. Now it's strategically, operationally, how does this affect us, and what actions can we take to make this intelligence actionable?
Right.
It's now it's transitioned from more than just news.
Right. Well, and it's also something else when you can take from our international counterparts watching the patriots in each nation actually going out there and stomping around and saying, oh, what, really? Okay, you guys are going to threaten us? How about you threaten several million of us, really? You know, right. is that You really think you can do that? Well, and so it's there. This is just the time when, you know, we're going to have to figure out what part we're going to do to put a stop to whichever part is affecting us in the worst way.
Well, this is a part when Americans need to get over their identity crisis and realize who we are.
Yep, that's right.
What we are, yep. What our heritage is,
yep.
What it took for us to have this country, and come to terms with what's necessary for us to ever have a hope of restoring this country to what it was.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
And it's very serious.
It is very serious because unless we get organized and get our stuff together, we are going to get absolutely stomped into the dirt very soon.
Absolutely. And it's impossible to organize without leadership. And our leadership is AWOL.
Well, and like my book 444 describes, you don't have to have a central leader in the situation in which people understand the whole concept of taking your local areas back.
Right.
Because that does not require a central leader. It doesn't take a huge, you know, nationwide leader to get your county under control. Right?
Right.
All you need is a local leader that has some background and some understanding with how things work. Just like we saw recently here in Michigan, right in Paris, Michigan.
Yes.
The most awesome thing just happened, and the entire town got together and ousted the entire city board.
Yes.
They ousted them all, and as soon as they got them ousted, they hurried up and changed the locks on the town hall.
Awesome.
So that they couldn't even go back in there if they wanted to.
Awesome.
And the whole problem was that the entire board was ignoring the people who did not want a Chinese manufacturing plant to go in there that was going to be manufacturing the batteries for the electric cars.
Oh, I bet all these city board members were getting their pockets lined out of that deal, too.
I bet they were. And the people all got together and said, nope, not on our watch.
Awesome.
You guys are all out of here. They ejected every last single one of them.
Outstanding.
And so that's what you call taking your community back.
Yep.
And forcing the people that are in charge to follow the law and also follow the will of the people.
Yeah.
And there were several people that stood up and protested saying, my family fought the communists, and you guys are going to have them here in our town? And
right.
So, you know, there are those kind of statements. And this is exactly what's going on all over America. It is surprising how little it actually takes to turn a county around with just minor organization and getting at least a small group of people, a well-informed group of people, to go and set the right meetings and bring in the right kind of response.
That's
to
right.
These city boards, to these county commissioners meetings, to change things from that level that, you know, they won't be able to reverse.
Right.
Yep.
Outstanding. Well, that's good stuff. And that's a great way to end our first show for 2024. Many more to come, Lord willing. And we thank you guys for being with us, and just keep us in your prayers. Thank you for your support. If you want to continue to support Radio Free Redoubt, you can go to radiofreeredoubt.com and click on the Donate to RFR tab there and help keep us going. It's going to be quite a challenging year ahead. So get prepared, patriots, and do a lot of your fighting on your knees. It's going to be important. Okay, well, with that, we'll go ahead and close out. You guys have a blessed week. Be safe out there. Join us every morning for the morning commute, 7 a.m. Pacific time out of Spokane, Washington on KTW. And that's all I've got. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.